Praise the Lord. Good morning, folks. Oh, hallelujah. It's always good to be in the house of God and a place where you can worship and offer praise and thanksgiving to God. I was last week listening to a lady from an Indian pastor from Sri Lanka. And she was talking to us about her country and how in her country the church is under great persecution. How many churches were burnt down? The church where she was pastored and her husband was killed, was murdered in front of her eyes. And the churches are being burned so often. I looked around this morning and I said, we've got a lot to give thanks for. Here we are worshiping in the presence of God. And I want to tell you, it's good to be here. Amen. It's good to be here. Rana, thanks for that. I'm excited to hear the church being out in the community. Oh, hallelujah. Will you plan to be there 9th of December? I was with Reinhard Bonnke last couple of nights ago. Hallelujah. What a man, 72, and still have more fire in his bones than most of us have in our bodies. Fire of God in his heart about evangelism and about seeing people saved. And folks, if we are going to do it, we have got to do it. So get out there on the 9th. Amen. By the way, last time I saw Rana, he was in a newspaper. New Life newspaper. Talking about your deliverance. And it was marvelous. Looked at that. I know that guy. Hallelujah. But isn't it marvelous, folks, to know that God delivers us from all sorts of situations. Last week I was in Belfast. Hallelujah. Right up there in Northern Ireland. And I was preaching in a congregation of about 600 people. And after ministering, hallelujah, this big guy walked to the front. He had tattoos on his arm. All the women said, what a lovely man. But he walked to the front and he said to me, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Afterwards, the pastor said to me, he said, George, let me tell you, that guy is a well-known murderer, and he wants to be saved. He got saved last week. Thank God for the grace of God. Amen. It reaches everywhere, and it will reach Reading. Amen. If you get out there, people will be saved. People are coming to Christ all over the world. Amen. And God is doing it. I am at the Wembley. Anybody was at the Wembley Arena for the prayer meeting? Oh, hallelujah. Wasn't it good? Amen. Whoosh. Wasn't it good? I was with Jonathan a couple of days ago, and he was saying to me a lot of spin-offs have happened since the Wembley Arena. A lot of places now are opening up for prayer more than ever. And people are wanting to pray in their areas, not just their churches, but the areas are coming together for prayer. Isn't that exciting? Anytime you come together for prayer, things happen. Amen. Three of you believe it. The rest of you are not too sure. Anytime the church gets together for prayer, things happen. I met at Wembley. The first person I saw as I got up there around Wembley was a girl who I hadn't seen for 35 or 36 years. She was 15 when I saw her, when she got saved in a little mission in Heckman Wyke in Yorkshire. I hadn't seen her since. I was a pastor for a year and then went away to Guyana, hadn't seen her. But just to say this, as we met up with her, I didn't recognize her. She recognized me. Hallelujah. So I can't be that old. However, after I nearly squeezed the life out of her, when I knew who she was, we've been in touch ever since. And she wrote me a letter this week saying, in their town, in Dewsbury, they're open for prayer, and the area's open up for prayer. And she says, people are walking in from off the streets and are saying, we want to know about Jesus. Nobody's going to them. They are coming from off the streets. I want to tell you something wonderful is happening in Britain. The door is open for the gospel. Let's do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. One other thing before I'm not going to preach to you long this morning. Say hallelujah. Just before I preach to you, got about 30 of these books. It's a story of my life and how God took up this guy from Jamaica and brought him to England and has taken me to many countries of the world to preach the gospel as a black guy preaching to white congregations all over the place. And there's a lovely photographs of my family and my 18 grandchildren, hallelujah. They're all in there. So if you buy this, you are giving to children in need. Especially at Christmas, amen. Christmas. The £5 of time. And just to tell you, let me tell you what it's about. It's really about how God can take up a nobody and make you into what he wants you to be. And it's all about cross-cultural ministry. That whatever color you are, don't just minister to those people. You are sent to the world. Hey! So in the name of the Lord, £5. And you'll see it gives a lot of testimonies. A lot of people whose lives have been touched and their own testimonies. It will bless you. You can give it to a non-Christian. There are testimonies in it which will get people to know Christ. Fiver well spent. Amen. I've only got 30 copies. First 30 will go. Okay. Flick your Bible open. By the way, I had a more up-to-date text from Theo this morning. I had one about 9:45, and himself and Billy, they're doing well, and they're praying for you this morning. Amen. You have prayed for them as well. Amen. So we both will do well. Okay. I make a declaration this morning before I preach the word of God. A declaration I want to make. And the declaration is this. I believe that God will minister to every need in this place this morning. I believe that. Therefore, open yourself and get ready for the ministry of God to you. I don't care the history of the problem. I don't care how long it's been there. I want you to know that God is ready to meet it and to deal with it. Hallelujah. This is your day. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is your day. Hallelujah. God is showing me this. For far too long, we are focused on the problem and not the answer. What God was, I want you to hear that. Because most of us, the problems are magnified. And we are supposed to know not to magnify the problem. We are to magnify the Lord. Minimize the problem and magnify the Lord. What God was teaching Peter, what Jesus was teaching Peter that day when he said to him, and when the waves were flashing and the waves were boisterous and the wind was ferocious, Jesus just looked and he said, Peter, come to me walking on the water. And as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he was all right. It's when his focus shifted onto the wind and onto the waves, that's when he had his problem. And I want to look at you this morning. And God is saying, it's time to make a shift in your thinking. Make a shift in your pattern. And shift from the problem to the solution. Hey, hallelujah. Stop talking about the problem. Let's talk about the solution. I'm going to say it again for those who weren't listening. Stop looking and talking about the problem. You talk to the problem about the problems too much. You want to talk about the solution. Make a shift in your thinking. The key verse, let me turn to the first one. And again, I'm not preaching, I'm just telling you it. Hebrews chapter 11. first verse, Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at this verse. Hebrews 11. In verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Two things. If you're going to come to God, you must first of all believe that he is. And then you must believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, if you seek him, you're going to find him. If you ask him for a solution, you're going to find it. So God is going to answer the cry of your heart. And then to clarify, it just says in verse 7, by faith, Noah being divinely warned of him, of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his household. Watch it again. After Noah being divinely warned of God, he moved with godly fear. And he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. What am I saying to you? That in order to receive the benefits of God and the benefits of your faith, you have got to do a bit of moving. Amen. Faith is never passive. Faith is always active. Amen. So it says, when God spoke to him, he moved with fear, godly fear. He did something. There was a shift in his thinking. There was a movement in his life. And he prepared an ark. God has said, I'm going to send a flood. So he prepared an ark. When he could see nothing, he prepared. I'm asking you right now, will you prepare your mind, prepare your spirit, prepare your heart to receive God's blessing this morning? Prepare your heart. Moses, Abraham, this guy Noah, he prepared something. Are you prepared for something this morning? Because if you don't prepare, you won't get it. Many, it will happen automatically. I'm learning the blessings of God are not automatic. Amen? My wife keeps telling me that Christmas doesn't just happen. Hallelujah. She said, many of you men, you believe it just happened. But somebody's got to prepare for it. And I'm saying to you, you've got to prepare your heart, prepare your mind, prepare your faith. Amen. Come on. Get your faith stirred up. Without faith, you won't please God. Without faith, you won't get from God. Without faith, you won't move. But when you move and you prepare, God move with you. Amen. So get ready this morning. Get ready to get something from God. Don't sit there looking as though you shouldn't be here. You know, some Christians sit there and say, Pastor, bless me if you can. Oh, God, and my face won't look like anything else but like I've been baptized in lemon juice. And my face looking horrible. Oh, bless me, Pastor. In the name of Jesus, it's about time you learn to wake yourself up and begin to bless God and begin to wait and begin to receive what God has. Let me just tell you this word and then move on. Deuteronomy chapter 7. This is our meditation for a couple of minutes. Deuteronomy 7. Remember, keep in mind, he's not preaching this morning. He's just outlining something. And then you'll get it, and then we're going to pray. I want to spend more time praying for you than I want preaching. So come on, get ready. Open yourself up. Verse 8 of Deuteronomy 7. Got a Bible, look at it. Not behind me. No, hallelujah. Just checking if the writing was on the wall. But it isn't, so come on. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 8. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to our fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and has redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Oh God, that's a deep meditation. Know therefore, God wants you to know something. And I want to get you to know this. Know therefore. Now, whenever time you find a therefore, there is something that goes before it. So when he says know therefore, there is something that has gone before it to make sure that the therefore is registered in your spirit. Therefore what? Let me show you therefore what. Verse 8. Therefore, because the Lord loves you. God ministers out of love and out of compassion. Amen? Come on. Learn that. There are many of you don't really realize that God really loves you because you're so bad and so terrible. But God loves sinners. God loves people for people. God loves you in spite of you. Watch my eyes. What did I say? God loves you in spite of you. Not because of you. Not because you're good. But in spite of your sin, he still loves you. So the Bible says, therefore, because he has loved you. Because he keeps his oath. That means God has sworn by something. God has made an oath, which means I will not break it. Because of his love, because of his oath, because he brought out Egypt, Israel from Egypt with a mighty hand. So because he brought you out with a mighty hand, because, amen, it's unfinished yet, because he redeemed you from your enemies. Redemption is a wonderful thing. And out of redemption comes blessing. Amen. I was doing a mission in Silverdale in Staffordshire in September. And one night of the mission, I looked in the congregation and I saw a couple who were in Bible school with me that I hadn't seen for many years. At the end, I went made a beeline for them to just to chat and to see how they were. And the lady, Margaret, told me this story. She said, George, I've been seriously ill for a few years. She says, I couldn't do anything for myself. I was in a wheelchair. She said, I couldn't do anything for myself. My husband did everything for me. I couldn't rise. I couldn't stand. He did everything for me. And she said, a few months ago, I was just fed up with it, and I couldn't take it anymore. And she said, I said to God, God, I can't take this anymore. I can't take my husband having to do everything for me. This is no quality of life. And as she was moaning to God, anybody ever moan to God? Oh, come on, no, you're too wonderful for that. The men in the Bible did, amen, they could moan at God. Well, you have a good moan. And she said, God just said this to her. The Lord just said this. Margaret, he called her name. Amen. God knows your name this morning. Amen. Glory. He knows. And he says, Margaret, I have redeemed you. Just like that. Didn't say any more. Margaret, I have redeemed you. And so the moment the Lord said that to her, something registered in the spirit. Redeem means to buy back. It means to bring back. It means to deliver. It means to bring you out of. Amen. Because I have brought you out. And she said, when the Lord said that to her, she said, suddenly she thought, if the Lord has redeemed me, then I don't have to live like this. That was her exact thought. And she said, the moment she got that thought, listen to her now, she moved with an action. And she began to do what she couldn't do. And the first thing she did was to stand up. She couldn't stand up. She couldn't stand. She was sat in a wheelchair and pushed. And she said, she stood up. And the moment she stood up, she took a step. Faltering step. And then she took another one. And before she finished the sixth step, she was totally healed. Totally healed. Today, she travels, she preaches. She's a great singer. She's a big woman with big lungs. And she, lungs, you know, those things. And she sings the gospel. She got a great voice. But the whole thing is, I have redeemed you. And the knowledge of a redemption brought action. And action brought blessing. Amen. God is waiting for some of us to do some action. So I'm believing this morning God's going to meet every need in this place. So watch this. Listen to the word now. Not preaching, remember? God wants you to know. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 9. Here is the key verse this morning. And with this we're rushing and finish. Verse 9. Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God. Watch me. The Lord your God, He is God. Why are you telling us that, God? God is riveting something in the spirits. The Lord your God, He's no mamby-pamby. He's no false God. He is God. The God of Israel, He is God. And the God that for which no greater can be conceived. The God of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Amen. So that's the truth God is getting over to Israel. The Lord your God, He is God. Wasn't a waste of time. It was a riveting the truth into the spirit. So this morning, know that the Lord your God, He is God. And then the next thing He said to them was something fantastic. He said, the faithful God. I'm not just God, I'm the faithful God. I am faithful. And what I tell you, when someone is faithful, it's fantastic. How many of you know you can trust someone that's faithful? And that's what God wants to get over to you. I am faithful. When I say a word, I do it. I will never leave you. I will not forsake you. I am God and I am faithful. And I want to tell you this verse, keep on rising. Because everything God says, He takes them to another level. One of the things I learn about God is, and I learn about you as a Christian, is that we are all at different levels. Yes, we all come in. It's a level playing field. When we come to Christ, we come as sinners. We receive Christ. We are born again. We are filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. But how many of you know that's on the beginning of your Christian life? There are heights for you to go to. There are levels for you to rise to. And even in this text, where God begins by saying to them, I am God, and I am the God, and I am the faithful God. He takes it to another level, and He says this. He says, I am the faithful God who keeps covenant. Oh, God. I could feel a preach coming on here, but I won't take it. In Genesis 15, if you want to know what covenant is all about, you have got to go to Genesis 15. When God promised Abraham, he says, Abraham, you're going to have a son. You're going to have a lots of kids. You're going to have all sorts of things. And Abraham said, all right, God, I believe that I'm going to have a kid. But Lord, where am I going to put all the kids that you're promising me? And the Bible says, when Abraham said that in Genesis 15, God says, Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And Abraham understood covenants, you see. The difference with us, why we don't understand this, because we don't understand covenants. Abraham understood covenants. And he knew covenants with people. When he made a covenant with a man, a covenant is an agreement which you make between two people. And it's based on strengths and weaknesses. And we haven't got time to go into it, but just to say this. A covenant was always sealed with blood. The blood of the animal. And after the animal was cut in two and the blood ran down the middle, sealing of the covenant would mean that the two people making the covenant would come and would stand with their feet in blood. They would cut the wrist and they would rub the wrist together, and the blood is flowing from the wrist and the blood is flowing from the animal into them, and that's a blood covenant. And they would pronounce the blessing of the covenant. They would say things like this: as long as I live, I'm yours. As long as I live, nothing will ever happen to you that's wrong. I will always be there for you. That's the covenant. And once you made it, it was binding forever. And you couldn't break it. Now, listen to this. God, that day in Genesis, God caused Abraham to take an animal, to kill it, to cut it in half, to make the trail for the blood. And the Bible says, in that hour, the power, the presence of the Lord came down and walked between the pieces. And that day, Abraham knew the covenant was sealed, ratified, and God could never break it. And it increased his faith to another level. Amen? So God says now, I am the God that keepeth covenant. Let me leave it with you. I am the God that keepeth covenant. Watch the covenant now. He says, and this is what blessed me. He says, I keep covenant to 1,000 generations. Oh God, let that go in your spirit. That means your generation, your children's generation, your grandchildren's generation, your great-grandchildren's generation. I keep covenant to 1,000 generations. That means more than you'll ever need. Amen. Come on. I want to leave that with you. And when God keeps covenant, he keeps covenant. And that's what God wants you to know. If you're sleeping, hear me. Please don't sleep, sir. Wake up. Because your life, your circumstance, your deliverance, your healing, you're moving forward in God. The blessings of your family, the blessings of life and life eternal depends upon what you hear in the word. He keeps covenant forever to 1,000 generations. Therefore, God wanted them to know that. And I want to close by telling you this. This week is your homework. Let me give you some homework. When you get home, I want you to begin to read Psalm 103 right through to Psalm 107. That's your homework. Just four psalms, amen? Somebody said, it's going to take me a year to read Pastor George. Heaven help you. It's only four psalms. They might be long, but they're fantastic. These psalms are absolutely brilliant. Not preaching on them, Psalm 103 to Psalm 100 and what? Seven, and I've made a couple of notes, and it's just this. That's your homework. But you notice all these psalms begins with praise and thanksgiving. Every one of them. Every one of them. Watch me. It's a good thing when you come to church In your worship, in your time before God, before you pray, enter into a time of praise. Amen. I will enter his gates. Come on. I'll enter his courts. Come on. And when you praise God, you begin to magnify the Lord. And when you magnify the Lord, faith begin to come. God, people hear it. God, you're not going to do anything for me today. Lord, God, I start, down I am, Lord. And Lord, I'm getting more down the longer I stay in your presence. Is the more down I get, Lord? And the problems are multiplying, Lord. And Lord, you know all about it, Lord. When you're finished, you're below your boots. In the name of Jesus, you want to wake up your soul. You want to say, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me shall bless his holy name. Oh God, it might be bad now, but it's getting better. The devil says bad now, it's going to get worse. The name of Jesus, wake up your soul. And realization and revelation results in thanksgiving and praise. Oh God, Psalm 103, how does it begin? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Oh, hallelujah. Can you see the Spirit rising? Forget not all his benefits. What does he do? He forgives. He's a forgiving God. He forgives all my sins. Don't get there ahead of me, sister. I want you to know this morning that God is a forgiving God. That man with the pornography, that man who is passing through difficult trials, that person who have sinned and the guilt of it is upon you. I want to say to you, God forgives all your sins. Ask him. I don't care who you are, whether you're a murderer. I don't care what you've done. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, still cleanses from all sin. He forgives all your sins. Listen to this one too. Now we can come to it, sister. He heals a couple of your diseases. If you know the God of the Bible, that he is God, then that's what he does. And we could go on, oh, hallelujah, satisfy my mouth with good things. He renews your youth. Hey, that's somewhere, somebody's smiling now. God can do that, hallelujah, brother. He renews your youth like the eagles. He make you mount up with wings. Come on, God didn't make you for the earth. He made you to soar. I don't feel like it, brother. You got to move in order to move. Amen. How many of you know that a plane, before it takes off, it don't just stay in the hangar? If it stays in the hangar, it never come out, never smile. Fly. You've got to get out. The pilot, in fact, I went with a lady pilot, hallelujah, from Birmingham last week to Belfast. And this lady is, and so and so, she'll be in charge of your flight. And I prayed again. Joke, she was great. But folks, you don't start to fly except you begin to move. You've got to push that thing back. You've got to get it out of the stationary position. And when you move, when it begins to move, that's when you pray again. Amen. And then when she taxis down the runway and she's going, hallelujah, she still needs some more. Got to pull back on that thing. There is something for you to do before you fly. There is something for you to do before you get your healing and your deliverance. You've got to start moving, amen? And that requires faith. Shift your mindset to movement. Psalm 105. Oh, God. Yes, honey, I'm finishing now. Brother Somerville's face. She's saying, oh, God, you told him you weren't preaching. And I'm not. I'm just sharing. Psalm 100 and what? Five. I was blessed as I read this. Psalm 105. This is part of your homework. Get it. This is where you're going to take it up from. Psalm 105. Give thanks to the Lord for his good. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk about his wondrous work. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Amen. Don't get sad with your seeking the Lord. Don't just look as though, oh God, I'm sad. Let those who seek the Lord rejoice. Because that's faith. That's saying, if I seek, I'm going to find. Learn that. Learn it. And as that psalm goes down, Psalm 105, look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, he remembers his covenant. Not just for 1,000 generations, but for what? Forever. If God makes a covenant with you, it's forever. Verse 24 was the one that occupied all my thinking. Verse 24. It says he increased his people greatly and made them stronger. Oh God, underline that in your Bible. I don't care what your enemy is or who he is. Amen. Even your wife. The Lord increase you and make you stronger than your enemy. As a child of God, you are stronger than your enemy. Verse 37, again, was the one that blew me away and the one that brought me to what I'm saying to you this morning about the Lord meeting every need in this place. Verse 27 or 37 said, he brought them out with silver. Amen. He brought them out with what? Silver and gold. If you're going to come with God, you're going to get money. Oh, God, don't go into that, George. That's heavy. He brought them out with silver and gold. But the next verse, the next part of the verse is what changed my life. And there was none feeble among his tribes. No, can you come on now? Here we are. God is looking back, and the psalmist is looking back over what God did for Israel. Amen. 2.5 million people leaving Egypt. And what's the chances of in 2.5 million people not one feeble? How many of you know all that is supernatural? Come on, folks, all that's supernatural. There was not one feeble person among them. That's got to be a miracle. That's got to be the keeping and the preserving and the power of God released among his people. Now, watch me. If God could do that for 2.5 million people, could he do it for a couple of hundred? Hey! Well, brother, I'm going to be the one that he won't do it for. And if you are thinking that, heaven help you, because that's where you stay. You've got to come to the place where you say, God, you are for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? God is for me. Therefore, I'm going to win. And I love, don't go into 106. That will take you off into something else. That's even more better. Psalm 106, 8 to 12 is powerful. Read it. But Psalm 107, oh God, if you read how many things Israel did, how many times they backslid, how many times they did things, and then the Bible says this, then they cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard them, and he delivered them. Read the whole lot. I'm just trying to share with you this morning who God is, his ability to help, and his ability to help all you need. Read the whole of the psalm, and it will bless you. Everything. Come on now. And listen, as we close, listen to this. All that is from the Old Testament. What did I say? All that is from the Old Testament. How many of you know when you come to the New Testament, you get a brand new covenant based on better promises, sealed with better blood? Sealed with better blood. You read Hebrews, and Hebrews will tell you all the better things we have in Jesus Christ. I close now, literally, and we could take up all of those and go in them. Honey, I mean it. This one. Lord, please let them get this. There are many of us, and we come to church, and we come to Christianity, and we come with a mindset that Christianity is just natural and normal. Watch my eyes. There is nothing natural and nothing normal about Christianity. Every bit of it, from start to finish, is supernatural. I'm going to say it again. Everything in Christianity, from start to finish, it's supernatural. Come on, church. When God called you from darkness to light, He gave you an upward call of God in Christ, an upward call. It's a supernatural call. It's a call to live in the kingdom of God. Amen? And the kingdom of God is not a natural kingdom. The kingdom of God is a supernatural kingdom. Amen. Amen. Get it. I wish I was reading again this week a little book by the founder of our movement called George Jeffries. If you have never known anything about time, you go and study your roots. Elim have got some good roots. Rooted in God, but rooted in some good men. And George Jeffries wrote a book called Healing Rays. If you have never seen it, go back and pick it up. Ask Elim for it. Get them to reprint it. It's about time as Elim we've visited our roots again. Because I see many of our churches and we have got evangelical written over them by our action. There is no might. There's no move of God. There is no healing of the sick. There's no gift of the Spirit. There's no too much. In the name of God, we've got to get back to our roots. And get back to the book. And get supernatural again. Hallelujah. I must confess, don't, if you're printing this, don't tell them this one. But I was at the conference. And I noticed at our conference, I went a few nights, and there was not one of those nights when anybody was prayed for, where the sick was ministered to, where people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. None of those meetings, you find anything like that. I'm saying, Lord, I remember when the times were when every one of those meetings, people were filled with the Holy Ghost. People were delivered. People were, all sort of things happened. In the name of Jesus, folks, we've got to get back to it. People need Jesus and they need the power of God. Demonstration of the Spirit of God. In fact, our own, another thing that upset me was the fact that our superintendent or our general secretary had to send out at Whitsuntide to Elim ministers asking them to preach on the Holy Ghost. What sort of nonsense is that? Every Pentecostal minister should preach on the Holy Ghost all the time anyway. But you've got to remind them at Whitsun to preach on the Holy Ghost. What the nonsense is that? We want to get back to Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost power, and the moving of God. And what I was saying to you, everything about the Christianity is supernatural. Watch me as we close now. Yes, watch it. Supernatural, miraculous, miraculous. How many of you know the virgin birth was miraculous? Oh, go back and read the Christmas story. It's all miraculous. Nothing about it was natural. It was all supernatural. The life and the ministry of Jesus was all supernatural. Linked with heaven, miracles, miraculous, supernatural. His going to the cross, the fulfillment of the word of God, his being on the cross, all of that was God, and it was miraculous. And watch this now. His resurrection was miraculous. His ascension was miraculous. Amen. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is miraculous. Amen. Come on. The receiving of the Holy Spirit is miraculous. Every bit of it is supernatural from beginning to end. His second coming is fantastic. I was reading last night, and I was reading from Revelation 6. And I was reading where Revelation 1 talks about Jesus. And we are still seeing Jesus as a gentle Jesus, meek and mild. We are still seeing Jesus as the Jesus who ministered in Galilee. I want to tell you how John saw him in the book of the Revelation. Wasn't a gentle Jesus. It was a majestic Jesus. Risen, eyes of fire. And then I saw where the Bible says, in fact, I almost read it to my sister-in-law, but I scared her to death. But it says about the day coming when the heavens shall depart as a scroll. And men upon earth, the kings, the wise men, the bondmen, the free men, are going to look and they're going to call for the mountains to fall upon them and to hide them from the face of him who sits on the throne, for the great day of the wrath that God has come, and who shall be able to stand? As I read that yesterday, I trembled again. All supernatural, all power, all above us. So I look at you and I say, the fact that I pray is because I believe in the supernatural. I'm going to ask you today, as we come to prayer, realize that Christ has done everything for you to deliver you, to bring you, to make you a son, and to make you walk in victory. All you need to is add your faith to it, and it will become reality. So this morning, know that the Lord your God is your God, and he wants to save you if you're not saved. He wants to heal you if you're not healed. He wants to deliver you if you're not delivered. He wants to set you free from everything that binds you. God's will for your life is wholeness. Amen. God wants to help your marriage if you let him. Amen. Come on. God wants to help you at work if you let him. God wants to touch you at every level of your need today. I'm going to let him do that. We'll let him do that. We'll let him do that. So right now, I ask you to bow yourself in the presence of God with me. I'm going to invite the Lord Jesus just right now to take over the service and to move from seat to seat. All I'm asking from you, hallelujah, is that you allow your faith to rise. Bow yourself in the presence of God. Put your book away. Put everything out of the way. And this is you and God right now. The Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is in this place. And his power is here to heal. His power is here to deliver. His power is here to set free. Lord, I thank you for every person right now sitting in your presence. I thank you, Jesus, because you're here in power. And your power is present to heal, to deliver, and to set captives free. Lord, I ask that faith shall arise in the hearts of people right now. I pray that there'll be a shift in the mindset and their hearts will be towards you, and the faith that's in them will begin to surface. Deliver them from doubt. Rid them from the dregs of doubt, the dregs of unbelief, the dregs of fear. Set them free now, Father, and let their minds begin to look to you. Because in you is the help. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be delivered. So right now where you are, don't sit quietly. Call on the name of the Lord for what you need right now. God likes to hear your lips move. He likes you to call on him. And I'm asking you this morning, it's not you and the next person right now. It's you and God. Tell him about what you need right now. Tell him that you need deliverance. Tell him that you need healing. Tell him that you need your life sorting. Bring the problem to him. And don't look anymore at the problem. Look to Jesus for the solution. Shada dio bobonta yasitai. Maruka bababantio toro. Zetio dora kiata yasoto. Come on, if you speak in tongues, worship God in the spirit. Talk to God in tongues. Talk to God in tongues. Talk to God. Ababaruta babasite. Chadio toro taya. Not accepting that situation anymore. Not accepting that sickness anymore. Not accepting that sin anymore. It's your deliverance is in Jesus. Take it. Take it. Take it. Ida baba baba tiotoria. Soto to baratiotoria. Via satio doborukaya. Soto bariotoro taya sata. You just talk to God another minute. Just talk to God another minute. Sutoburu, cry out to him. Cry out to him. If you're desperate, let the Lord know you're desperate. Oh, let your mind shift. Oh, Ruda Baba Diotura. Your cry is the first move towards your deliverance. Your cry is the first move towards your deliverance. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One in the midst of you. The Holy One in the midst of you is great. Shadio Toro, Miasatio, Vesiolo Boro Kaya da Baba. Osha. Oh, oh, Shidadaya Soto. Eya Dodoborokaya. Etio Doborokaya. As you cry out to God, if you feel you need help in prayer, if you feel you need help in prayer, and you're believing God for your freedom and deliverance, and you feel a prayer, you feel our prayers for you would help, leave where you are and come, and we'll pray for you this morning. You're believing God for your deliverance. You're believing God for your situation to change. I don't care how long you've had it. I don't care of the history of it. I'm asking you, if you need God, come where you are, and let's believe God for you. Is there anyone at all who need help in prayer? Come and get it. You need help, come get it. You need help, come get it. I'm going to ask the no spectators this morning. I'm going to ask you, let's all be participators. Every person in this place, I'm asking you to cry to God for yourself. Cry to God for your need. If you don't have any needs, cry to God for somebody else's. But the Lord is going to help this morning. Deliverance is yours. Oh, hallelujah. Because he loves you. Because he loves you. Because he has redeemed you. Hey, hallelujah. He has redeemed you. He loves you. He has redeemed you. He has redeemed you. Is there anybody that need to be saved this morning? You don't know the Lord Jesus who died for you and rose again. God wants you to bring you into his family. If you want to be saved, leave where you are and come here as well. And I'll pray for you on this day, you'll be saved. This day, you'll begin a brand new life with God. Ida baba batioto. Meshiotoria dayasite. Zolobondaya baba babatioto. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your presence in this place right now. I thank you for the release of your spirit right across this congregation. And I ask you, Lord, to move from seat to seat. Minister to every person in this place. Let there be not one feeble, Lord, person among us. One person that don't receive anything from you. Lord, I believe you today. for an all-inclusive blessing upon your people. And I release that in this place right now in the name of Jesus. Receive the blessing of the Lord.